You have to truly believe in the magic.
Hey, magic fans, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Magic, a magic Orlando Magic podcast. Today we are going to be talking targets for free agency and trades. But firstly, and in the first time in forever, I feel like I should break into a song from Frozen there. But it's the four of us. We are back together. So how are we doing, boys? Gary, you doing well, mate?
Well, I'm just thinking of
Frozen big, and now it's like a new Frozen. It's like something you'll get from Iceland, isn't it?
It's the thing in the States, isn't it? Buying frozen bacon for the microwave.
I think it's sweet bacon
as well, don't you? That's another one that should come in on us.
Sweet bacon is my new nickname, I think.
Reducing the slice next season. He's dashing in little syrup. Don't be playing Serrano. It's sweet bacon.
Oh, there we go. Lord, we're going home early. Yeah. Gene, how you doing, mate?
Good, mate. Friday. Weekend's ahead of us. We've done for him a week. So, try to blame my friend. And yourself, it's really good to have you back.
Right, well, I had to miss last week, as you know, a bit busy. But yeah, really good, really good. And making his long, long awaited return. Mikey Clark, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing well, mate. Thank you. It's been a bit of a crazy month or two, as you know.
Got a newborn baby here. Magic fan base.
I have, yeah. As they would say in Frozen, there'll be magic. There'll be fun. There's certainly been some of that in the last month. But yeah, it's all good, mate. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Excellent. Excellent. Right. Well, let's get into it, I think, boys. We've all heard Jeff Weltman speaking about bringing in high character guys. Previously, that's been in relation to the draft, and that criteria, I think, is also applied in respect of any other transaction that we do. Once we extend Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, and Paolo Banchero, the team are certainly going to have to deal with the salary cap issue. And so, if we are to bring in another expensive player, I think the team has to be sure that it's worth the investment. There's three areas that we're going to talk about tonight. The first one being that position, the floor general. We all know playmaking at times was a weakness for the Magic during the 2023-24 season. It was exposed a little bit more during the playoffs. So we need somebody that can get the offense going, get Paolo and Franz some easy shots, potentially stretch the floor, and allow Jalen probably to move back to his natural position as the starting shooting guard. So, boys, there's lots and lots of names out there, both in free agency and being suggested as potential trades for us. So, Mikey, you've not been with us for a while, so let's hear some thoughts from yourself, mate. Who would you like to talk about, first of all? Who's grabbing your attention
in the floor general? From the list that you've given us, so for floor general?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
I think probably Tyus Jones is probably a good place to start. It was somebody we were linked with at the trade deadline, and somebody that I think the Magic have got their eye on. Guy's played well for the Wizards this year, 28 years old. I think he somewhat still fits the timeline. I think you need to... Go on. I thought you said something, G. Sorry. I saw
you want to go do this with Duncan's eye, don't you? That's all you want.
Well, we missed the boat, didn't we? A couple of years ago, we had a Bacon and a Clark on the roster. Jones is that ship sailed, mate. It was too late. You definitely got a Jones. You definitely got to make a Jones jersey for sure. But I just think for somebody who's probably going to be a bit more affordable without maybe making a big splash, I think Tyus Jones is probably a really good target for the Magic. I mean, he's had really good season, as I said, for Washington, as you put, Paul, in the stats, 12 points per game, 7 assists. He's got one of the highest assist turnover ratios in the league this year. Really efficient player. I wouldn't necessarily, if he fits the physical attributes in terms of size and length and versatility on the defensive end, but in terms of somebody who can set the table and set the offense, I think Tyus Jones would be a really solid addition. But yeah, so if we can add Tyus Jones this summer, I think that's going to be a good starting block for me.
So, Cheat, I'm going to come to you, mate, because we all know you are very firmly in the camp of a certain Markelle Fultz. And I don't think any of this conversation that we're having, where we're talking about particular positions, I don't think it's a slight on anybody that we actually have, as opposed to seeing where we could go and going forward. And we've all said before on the pod that there could be players that we love, that we have personal attachments to, moving on and no longer having a place in this team. So, G, floor general, where would you think on, you know, guys that are available to trade?
Yeah, I mean, it's done well. I'll read out the names you've sort of
feel free, mate. Yeah,
before. Yeah. So we've got CJ McCollum, and that's going to. So we had a trade with his $30 million contract. Trey Young was another one. He's going to cost an arm and a leg. But obviously, we all know what Trey Young's capable of. D'Angelo Russell's an interesting one. I've never been to D'Angelo Russell fan, as many people, to be honest with you. A bit streaky, bit up and down, you know, doesn't play an tenacious defense that, you know, as Mike just mentioned, that Tyus Jones is in that same mode as well. He doesn't play that defense either. So you don't get that with him. DeJounte Murray, again, you're going to have to trade assets to match his salary. That's something I think we're really going to struggle with. And I think this is why we're not going to be able to somebody to trade to any of these players, because all of our sort of larger salaries are coming off the books this year. If you decide to bring Joe Ingles back, I think because we're just opting to give him the second year, we can't trade it, you know, until December, January. And that's just from retroactive from the player NBA 2K. Jordan Poole's another one. Yeah, even got you mentioned. Obviously, he had a down year with the Wizards. But I think his contract is absolutely atrocious off the top of my head. So it's not something we really want to decide into. But saying that, you know, just looking at your stats, you're 24 years old. We've seen him, you know, light it up in the past. But as you say, it's a disastrous season. And Mikey just mentioned that pick of the bunch there for me, Tyus Jones, from this, you know, section. Solid, you know, it's a low risk. And signing that one, I think you could get him a reasonable salary. And there's a couple of other staff. I won't say them all to like Gary, if put offer his five, you know, his 2 cents on there. But for me, I would be getting them better than Markelle Fultz. A healthy Markelle Fultz at a reasonable price in terms of being able to do playmaking. I mean, Seymour is capable of finishing around the rim. Gary and I spoke about this last week. In that TJ McConnell kind of role, he's not a starter off the bench. We've seen the success TJ McConnell's had in the playoffs. You know, the point guard off the bench for the Indiana Pacers. If that's something he's capable of doing, then I bring him back. I don't think this class of free agents in terms of these guards are worth overpaying for.
Well, Gary, I'm going to come to you then on the final two names that G hasn't mentioned are both names that are more come from the bench, veteran experience. So those two names that have, I should say this list I've drawn up isn't people I'm necessarily saying I think we should go for. They are not necessarily people that we've been linked with in rumours, but it's also paired from free agency lists and also various articles that I've seen around saying that this would be a better option than X, Y or Z. We could look at bringing this guy in. So with that caveat, these two names are Russell Westbrook, who is a free agent, and Chris Paul, potentially available via trade, both as guys to come in and potentially come off the bench. What would be your thoughts on either of those, Gary?
I don't see
your scorn for Russell Westbrook, because I don't think Russell Westbrook's going to satisfy the 3-point shooting that the Magic are going to want. So whereas he's a veteran presence, I think he's a character guy. I think he's someone who can bring a lot to your organisation. I just don't see the Magic going in for that, given how Westbrook shoots the three. He doesn't space the floor. He actually adds to the problem. So for me, I'd be very surprised if Westbrook was there, unless he was taking some kind of ridiculously low offer, which wouldn't make sense. I can't see us trading for Chris Paul.
I mean,
what I potentially could see is if the Warriors bought Chris Paul out. Rolando. I could see that happening, you know, because I think we are a lot more attractive a proposition now. 6 weeks ago, because we were in the playoffs, we could clean up a hard time. I saw the Vancaro, Jalen Williams debate come up again on Twitter. It's not that it was a debate to begin with, but it's really not a debate now. Vancaro's really solidified himself as a legitimate all-star level performer. One of the guys who's seen as the future of the league, given what he's done in the playoffs. Chris Paul, therefore, becomes valuable to Orlando because of what he could do for Anthony Black, what he could do for Jet Howard, what he could do potentially for Cole Anthony still, what he could, you know, like, he has value in the Magic in that way. And he does kind of fit that, even though he's old by NBA terms, he fits what Paolo's talking about as a two-way guy for me. Both ends of the floor. So if you, I don't think we'd bring Joe Ingles back if that was the case, but he would add a lot of value. And I've said it before, look what Chris Paul did to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Partly was down at Chris Paul, so I could see the Magic bet on a buyout, but could I see the Magic trading straight up for Chris Paul? No, I don't see the Magic making that many trades, actually.
I think he would be the cheaper option of those two. Out of those two, I think Chris Paul is considerably the cheaper option. And for me personally, I think he's also the preferred option of those two. If we are to have somebody come in as a backup to give a voice of experience and be able to, we saw Chris Paul starting for Golden State a few times last season, and it was really injuries that actually stopped that continuing to happen. So I think he would be able to offer a huge back catalogue of experience to, as you've already said, Anthony Black in particular. He's still got exceptional court vision. He would be a great option to put alongside that second unit, which is already one of the best in the league.
I'll say this, Paul.
If we had a healthy 39 years old Chris Paul in the Cleveland series, I think we'd have sucked game seven.
I think that's a very fair point. But, Gary, I'm going to ask you, on the actual names, if we are looking floor general for a starter, who would be your go-to out of those names? Who would you like?
Because of price, I would go for Tyus Jones. And look, I don't see Trae Young as a choice.
No,
I'm struggling to see DeJounte Murray as a choice, unless it's going to be something. I think that first pick could change a lot for Atlanta, because even if the first pick's solid, if the first pick's a Brandon Miller little contributor who did well in his first year without being Chet Holmgren or Paolo Banchero or Victor Wembanyama, that boosts Atlanta. So I'm wondering if they'll stick or they'll want something more than they would have if they were going to blow it up. I don't think it necessarily makes sense to have a fire sale if you're Atlanta now. Trae Young, they're not going to give away. So if Trae Young goes, people are going to have to then think to themselves, do you want to give up Franz Wagner? Do you want to give up Jalen Suggs? Because that's going to be part of the deal. I don't, personally. Tyus Jones, the rumours were around trade deadline that he could have been had quite cheap. We were mentally looking at him. Is he going to be a two-way? Is he going to be the current defender? Not really, for me, from what I've seen him play. But I would take Tyus Jones over D'Angelo Russell every day of the week, because I know I've had it on Twitter before where I've said he's not for me, D'Angelo Russell, and people's pointed out games again. He just seems to, whenever I see him play, unless there's been like a game against the Magic, when I've tuned into Newville games, I've never been sat there going, wow, I wish we had D'Angelo Russell.
That's Tyrus
with his assist to turnover ratio and his 3-point shooting at least satisfies two areas that we have problems with in the playoffs.
I mean, Go on, Mikey.
I was just going to say that I know we're going to talk about other positions a little bit later on, but are we in agreement that this is probably upgrading the point guard position is probably the most important thing for the Magic to do this offseason? Now, bringing Fultz back, I'm not against that at all, but I see Fultz as a backup point guard. So in terms of upgrading that position, I think the point guard's the most important upgrade we need to make. Of the players on this list, Paul,
yep,
which one do you actually think fits the profile for what the Magic want the most?
If on this list...
If you take salary and all that sort of stuff away, the actual player, which one do you think fits the best with what we got?
Out of those, I would go Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those, I would go Murray. 6 seasons, 27 years old. As has been said by a lot of people, the last time he was a pure point guard, the lead guard, primary ball handler, he was named an all-star. He was in NBA teams as a result. That season with the Spurs, he averaged 21.1 points, 9.2 assists, 8.3 rebounds, and 2 steals per game. We all know he brings defense. We've seen that. And he's very capable of creating offense for others and his own shot, as again we have seen at our cost a couple of times last season. The cost is what is concerning as far as going for a pitch on Dumoric. Him and Trae Young just haven't gelled. Like you said, Garrett, I think that them landing the number one pick has actually removed us as being a very good trade position for them, because they need less draft capital, which is what we are rich in. So I don't think he's necessarily the one. There are other players as we come further down when we talk about the shooting that could potentially fit in this list as well. But these are kind of the more, for the best phrase, pure point guard. I would rather have somebody that can actually do both. But off that list, Murray.
Do you ask me? If Chicago had lost to Atlanta in the play-in, game monitors pick.
I bet Chicago are laughing. They'll be laughing, they'll be dancing.
Thank you, Chicago.
I mean, coming to the draft, you have to feel, I suppose in some ways you've got to feel for Detroit, because for another year they drop massive amount of places. Incredible.
I don't feel sorry for them. I don't feel sorry for them at all.
Oh, God, sports fans, we really are the worst.
Well, we're the ones rebuilding correctly. And they've really botched theirs, haven't they? They really have. What about another option? What about Patrick Beverley?
I can't even say it without laughing. I will say this. When he came to us, I wish we'd have kept him. At that point, I wish we'd have kept him. And I still think he could have offered us something. I still think he would have been that veteran voice who could help. I do think he could have done something. There were other names on there that I could have included. I could have thrown in a James Harden and one or two others. But they're not realistic, though, are they? No. So, yes. Okay. What about you then, Mikey? You've introduced Pat Beverley.
No, absolutely not. No. But I think as it stands, because look, it's only, what's today? It's only the 17th of May. Like, a lot could change between now and the 1st of July and free agency and around the draft. But right now, I think what we know, we want to upgrade the point guard position, but all these names, I think what it proves is there isn't an obvious standout candidate that you can go, right, that person's the perfect place player to plug and place next to Jalen Suggs and Franz and Paolo. If that player's not there, then you could see a stopgap like a Chris Paul if he gets bought out. But yeah, I just think Tyus Jones is probably the safest bet at the moment for me.
I can see that off of those names. I can see that, mate. Also, probably for efficiency and fit, the cheapest option. But mm-hmm. he would have, I think, the defense would potentially be an issue for the Magic's identity. Our front office actually looking and thinking that's the guy that we could use. Unless it's just that he's been on a bad team and he's actually a better defender than we think.
He's been playing next to Jordan Poole for a start. So.
You couldn't be overworked, are you, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We're going to now talk about what I've called scoring the ball. And I think that in here, there is one name that would have fit in the previous section particularly, who we will no doubt talk about. But the reason that we've got to talk about three-point shooting and scoring the ball is that the Magic finished the season as one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. It hurt them in the playoffs. I think we all agree the offense would be much smoother if Paolo was surrounded by players who can stretch the floor. It would allow him room to work. Having one solid shooter, I don't think he's going to be enough. I think we need to be looking to add further. So, I think we're all in agreement that we expect the Magic to change this during the summer. So, G.
Yes.
Talk to me. Talk to me, Goose.
So you've given us a list of them now.
Start with the name that we keep getting linked with first.
Yeah. I'll start with the name. I've got to go with Anthony Simons first.
Okay.
Was he the name that you wanted to add to the first set as well?
That's the name that I would have potentially put in the first list as well.
Absolutely. So he's 24, fifth year in the league, shooting guard, capable of putting up, you know, big numbers on the same timeline as all of the young guys. Obviously, the issue here is he's commanding $25 million in salary. I think he's got 2 years left on his deal. So it's going to be one of those we're going to have to try and match salaries and whatnot with the Portland Trailblazers, probably give them a few picks. We talked about this on the trade deadline kind of special we did. Then we were afraid that Portland would be insistent on a poison pill, and that would be DeAndre Ayton and his horrible contract. But in terms of, you know, shooting, 3.4 threes per outing, 38.5%, 22.6 points per game scoring, and last year with a 5.5 assists per game. So he does a bit of everything. It's probably say Tolanthony after Mr. Hardaway. For me, he'd be the ideal if the price was right. But you know, I'm going to go through a couple more players now, and we'll turn to agreement at the end. But for me, Anthony Simons is probably one of the best out of the bench in terms of longevity and what he's capable of doing with, you know, players the same age.
Yeah, Gary, I'm going to come to you about a name that continually gets linked with us, available via free agency. And potentially an expensive option, I think. Klay Thompson. What would be your thoughts, mate?
Well, I think people need to accept.
We talked a bit about this last week, me and G, and I think people just need to accept that we are not getting option B Klay Thompson or All-Star Klay Thompson anymore. you're getting a guy who would be third or fourth option on the Magic offensively. It's what he wants in terms of money. Could I see the Magic signing Clay Thompson? Possibly. I could see it. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility because it's an attractive free agent destination. And even as he is now, he does solve problems with 3-point shooting, veteran presence, someone who's been there and won it all. The volume he can shoot threes in, like obviously his last game for the Warriors wasn't great. So he fits all of this. However, if he's going to come in and demand all-star money or 4-year contracts, no. G mentioned it last week. If it was a 2-year contract, that actually might be serviceable, which Tim and Paul George you'd probably put under that banner of players who are going to be on the downside. But I just don't see the Magic front office throwing out a 4-year contract and putting ourselves where we're cap locked for somebody who's given us 11 points per game in 3 years' time. That's a nightmare scenario, and then you're back in that position of offering people draft picks and stuff to take people off your hands, and then you may be that locked in that you've got someone like Paolo who might walk. I mean, in putting this together, I didn't realise that his stats were, I think they were better than I thought they would be for the season. I'll be honest with you. I didn't realise that he'd in his 268 made threes, that was the fourth most in the league last season. I didn't realise that. 38.7% from three last season. At all, he's far from a dummy. He's just, is he going to come in and demand all-star money? Because yes, there is no upside to Clay Thompson as a player out there. That isn't there. So he's got to be seen as a role player if he comes in.
If he's a role player and you tamp him out in the corner, no one's leaving him alone.
Well, this is the thing.
Look at what we got from Gary Harris in the playoffs. And look at what you could get from Clay. You're right, Gene. Nobody's going to say, oh, well, we'll just leave Clay Thompson unmarked out there whilst we try and throw a triple team at Paolo Banchero, because all Paolo's going to do is he's going to find him each and every time. And you're going to die by threes. And that's probably for Clay Thompson a lease of life. I think the Magic are being used as a pawn right now in the media. Yeah. Because we're in the cap room, we've got a deal, we've got a factory. It's not where someone's going to go, why would you go to Orlando? It's actually now it's back to the, oh, there's no state tax there. Think about the weather. Think about the lifestyle. Look at the upside of this team. Could you be the guy who takes them to these finals or further? This has happened before when they've had Shaq and Dwight Howard and stuff. That's the type of things you're hearing now. But it's not like we're signing Horace Grant or Rashard Lewis, where Horace Grant was in his prime when we signed him, and Rashard Lewis was coming into it. It's different.
Right, you mentioned him, and I'm going to ask you about him as well, Gary, for the same reason as Clay Thompson. George Free Agent, we are being mentioned as the possible suitor for him. In that same way, I think that there's that usage by certain interested parties for Paul George to create a market. But what's your thoughts on Paul George, Gary?
Paul George is 30
years old. This was like him signing with us when he signed with the Clippers.
That's awesome.
Probably on a par with Boston next season.
That's how
good Paul. Like Paul George was an excellent player. He's been a tremendous player. And if you add a guy who even now at 34 is giving you 22.5 points per game, decent rebounding, and giving you over 41% from three, probably at worst the second seed in the Eastern Conference.
So he makes you a
contender, but he's doing it at 34. And I think Paul George wants to stay in LA. Like G made the point last week where it was the Clippers don't want to go in the new arena losing.
Well, it's a kind of leaps that are coming out.
Well, Clay Thompson and Paul George aren't coming from us. We know this.
Yeah.
So it's
from their agents and saying, oh, well, he could go to Orlando. Max deal here. I mean, again, we're not paying Paul George a max contract at 38 years old.
No.
I wouldn't disagree with you on any point on either of those two players.
Mikey, another interesting one.
I don't know quite where he fits in the team, but let's talk about it. Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
What's your goals?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the fit. I like Brandon Ingram. My biggest concern with probably all three of these players that we've talked about, obviously Paul George and Klay Thompson are a little bit on the older, well, a lot older, but it's the durability with all three of these players, and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
It just feels like he's always injured.
Last season was the first season he's been relatively fit.
And they missed him at key points, didn't they? I mean, if you look back over the last few years, he played 64 games this year, 45 the year before that, 55, 61. So that he's never really played more than 60, 62 games in a season. And for a guy who's 26, I mean, he might be a 9-time All-Star, and he might put the stats up there for you. And he's obviously an offensive weapon. He's going to be a threat from three. He's going to take... I think Brandon Ingram and Paul George, I think what it does, it probably makes Franz the third option. And me and Gary have had this conversation. I think you guys have as well. I think in an ideal scenario, I think for the Magic to be a contender in the East, Franz then becomes maybe third, the third option offensively. Brandon Ingram is capable of taking off the offensive load. You can take a little bit off of Franz. Franz can then be a bit more of maybe a spot-up shooter. You're not asking him to do as much offensively, and I think that would help his game. And obviously, it would take a massive burden off of Paolo, because it's not... I mean, we saw it against the Cavaliers, didn't we? They were interested in defending one player, and it's Paolo. They were... Franz made them pay on a couple of games. I think it was game four, wasn't it, that Franz was big for us. But I think that was something the Cavaliers were happy to live with, because Franz has proven this season he's not been as consistent as maybe we'd like him to be. You guys discussed that last week. But I think Brandon Ingram would be a nice player to add, but the injuries really worry me for a 26-year-old. Personally, if you had to ask me out of the three of them, who would I rather sign, it would be Paul George. I think he's the player that's probably capable of giving you the most, and I think he fits the best out of all three of them. But again, the age is the concern, isn't it? What do you think, Paul?
Yeah. Right. Well, before I give any thought, I just want to ask you about one more player, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Who I thought was an interesting addition to the list as a free agent. Two times champion now, and still in the competition, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. What's your thoughts, mate, on his potential fit to the team?
Well, I said it earlier, didn't I? As it stands, we're talking about players who are going to be available. KCP could be one of those players that suddenly nobody's really thought about being available, and then... If the Nuggets decide to decline his player option and Denver aren't going to pay him, then he suddenly becomes a really nice option. I don't know how old KCP is. I think he's 31, without even looking.
I'm saying that, hold on.
But anyway, regardless of that, I think for a short-term move, 31 is a good guess, wasn't it? I think for a short-term move, maybe for two or 3 years. I'm not that clever.
Encyclopedic knowledge not that good. Of the age of all the NBA players
is mighty.
All it is just all the hours of us spending watching all these players over the years. That's all it is. I think KCP would be a really nice addition. I think he'd come at a price that probably would be attractive to us. I think, and I know we're probably going to talk about Malik Monk in a minute, but I think him and Malik Monk financially would be really nice fits for us. And I think KCP is obviously capable of being a starter, but I think he's also a player you could bring in off the bench as well. And you've obviously got that veteran leadership. He's won two titles with that horrible that team that won't be mentioned in Los Angeles.
G,
obviously,
the
winning
G
with the Nuggets.
Count.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't count.
He's got two rings, but one of them doesn't exist. One of them's a plastic ring. Off the fair.
But look, I think he fits perfectly. I think he's a 40% 3-point shooter with a lot with good volume, really good defender. And I think in terms of maybe his tenacious side, I think he fits. Imagine playing next to KCP and Jalen Suggs. I mean, it's been hard enough for teams this year as it is, but I think he would be a really nice addition for me. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that's the reason I said I want to say she about another player first, because of what we've talked about outside of Simons, and I'm not sure that the Magic would like Anthony Simons' defensive abilities, which makes me, that's the only thing that makes me wonder if we would ever go for him.
You're pushing your chips in if you go for Simons, that's the issue.
Yeah, but I really like the option of KCP. Really like
Do we need to push our chips in? That's the question.
No.
Because there's enough, but I think as long as we're aggressive enough, we have to be an attractive destination. I mean, there's enough options there. If we get there first, then we could upgrade the roster without really giving up anything, I think is the important thing.
Yeah. So, Jake, I'm going to ask you a question now. Mikey just mentioned one of the guys. There's two guys I want to speak to you about. Both are free agents. Buddy Hield, Malik Monk. What's your thoughts? And who is there one of those two you particularly like to see as a make a run at?
Out of those two, it's a no-brainer of one of them. But I'll start with the other one. Buddy Hield. He had a decent-ish season finishing in Philadelphia. He's 31. He's already going to command quite a salary. It's probably going to be his last big payday. 12 points a game. 39% from three last season. Decent. Yeah. He's a sharpshooter. He can get it done. He went off in one of the Sixers games. I can't remember which one it was. Was it game six, perhaps? I think it might have been. So... proven player, but does he fit the timeline? Is he going to command too much of the salary? Whereas, you know, Malik Monk, he's a different player. And I think somebody asked Coach Mosley about Malik Monk before we played Sacramento this year. And I don't know if you've seen the clip, but he was big, massive grin on Mosley's face like a Cheshire Cat. It was almost like he was trying to hide something, you know what I mean? He was like, he just asked a question about the guy I want, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, just background on him is, you know, you've given us it all. 26 years old, seventh year of the season, 35% career from downtown, but last season, 15 points a game. Primarily off the bench, honestly, yeah?
Yeah.
And then he's obviously been in the running, spent the
Had it not been for an injury, I think he would have been in that conversation. Yeah. Sixth man of the year.
But obviously, you know, having the cap space and would be an attractive destination for him to consider. And one we definitely should try to explore, certainly. I think it'd be a decent addition to this team. I did have one more player call that wasn't on your list.
Yeah, go for it.
I'll throw him in there. It would require a trade, and I've said about him this lots. But he's a 27-year-old sharpshooter. His worst season in the league, he shot 39% from downtown. He averages about 43%. I think he was about 44 last year, but he's had a few little injuries. Luke Kennard.
Yeah.
So
he was so close to being on the list.
Yeah.
He's
got 1 year left in Memphis, so it might not be something for this summer, so I'm just throwing it out there. Something maybe on a trade deadline. Memphis on the bad year and think, right, time to move him on. $14 million he's making next year. He'll be 27, 28 probably by the time the trade deadline comes along. So we've seen Luke Kennard go off on that suddenly. How many times?
Oh, yeah.
You know, for Detroit, for Memphis, every time. And he's certainly someone I'd like to have on the roster, if I'm being honest. So might not be something for this summer, but trade deadline, perhaps.
Mate, he was so close to being on that list. He was one of those names I sort of looked down and thought, yeah, I don't know if to put him in. But I went with, I'll show you who I went with. This one I want to ask Gary about, this trade that, because the only reason I went for, he didn't come in, was because I saw this trade as I was doing research for this. Suggestion that I saw, and I'm coming to you, Gary, simply because it involves one of our favourite players. So the trade suggestion is Cole Anthony and the 2025 second round pick to go to Golden State for Moses Moody and Trace Jackson Davis. So how would you feel about that as an interesting move?
Not really, because I think we're giving it the best player in the trade for starters. But I'll flip it back because I think there's an alternate trade, and it kind of segues into the next section where you're talking about centre. I could see a world where the Magic go for Nick Claxton. I can see that happening. I lean slightly towards Claxton because of his age and because of his blocking, whereas Valanciunas is that huge beast at the centre who feels the pain for it isn't really a good one for his rim protection. If that happens, then Wendell becomes kind of expendable in that sense, if you can increase your three-point shooting. Afton at the same time, who does very much the same in terms of threes as Moses Moody was Corey Kispert. And if you were looking for a trade, if you look at what the Wizards lack, the Wizards have got Bagley at center, so they need a five. And it works trade-wise where you would get Wendell going for Tyus Jones and Corey Kispert.
Sorry, enjoy it.
Well, I believe Corey Kispert could still be traded, and I believe Tyus Jones could be as well, but neither of those are free agents from what I've seen, and Wendell...
I think Tyus Jones is a free agent.
Yeah. I had him down as wasn't, but it was my stuff's out of date. But
yeah, he's a free agent, mate.
Right, well, still. That would be
what I'd have been looking at.
It's a hard one.
We'll see whether you throw in the free agent bit, but something along those lines. Moses Moody, I quite like the idea of. I just don't think he's proven himself enough to give up what Cole potentially brings. And Golden State for me make out like bandits there.
I thought Trace Jackson Davis had a decent rookie season. He looked quite a reasonable player. I kind of looked at this one. The reason I put it in was I thought Moses Moody was actually the guy I thought we might take at eight. In that original, in the 2021 draft. I know he actually went a lot lower, but he was kind of projected to be further up the draft. And I think he just doesn't get the opportunities behind the veteran play of Golden State, in Moses Moody particularly there. 36% from three. And last season he was scoring 8.1 points per game. I think he's got more in him than that, personally. Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
Interesting, but if he's good enough, like, is it Podolski or something who plays for them? The one who looks at them broccoli? Yeah.
Ginger broccoli.
Yeah, the broccoli guy. He got into the lineup.
Yeah. So
I think that's a fair point. I think if you look at it, we spoke about where Cole's issue was, and it's the same thing with Markelle Fultz, basically, where there's injuries, just one's physical and one's mental. But if you get Cole Anthony prior to where these issues off the court were being talked about, Cole was in the sixth man of the year conversation. So why would I give up Cole Anthony for Moses Moody, who couldn't crack the Warriors' rotation? And for a rookie who Where is he going to get playing time in Orlando?
That's right.
Like this, you know, like, I looked at it, the condition I had was about Jones being a rep. You know, like coming into the end of his contract. Obviously, that's not correct, but it would be something along those lines where I just thought I see it as low risk moves for the Magic. Like, just where we're not going to give up a lot. So, again, would Jones be a massive salary? Probably not. Would it take a lot to get Corey Kispert? Probably not.
I
think consider where they extend him. And I think Washington's in a place where they've blown it up, probably, and they're listening to anything. So I think Kispert could be had relatively cheaply. And then I think the other thing that's out there is, that we're not discussing, is the role of where Jet Howard and Anthony Black fit into this. Any negotiation the Magic start with any of these players are, we've got these two guys who are ready to contribute next season, because we are not going to go into a meeting and say we are desperate. And that's what Welton was getting at in his presser. He's going to play at poker hand. He's not sacrificing the future. He's not giving out a ridiculous deal. It'll either be something big for 2 years that can pay one of the names, or it'll be something where we do low risk guys like. It's there.
And Kispert's best teammates with Game of the Sox, his name is Kozaga. That's interesting.
Knight in is another guy we were going to draft. We'd get into nothing if we wanted to stick him in the G League and see what he does. I mean, there, you mentioned it. I've gone nowhere near the draft. I think that's a conversation for another time. But there's options there. There's options there to fill some of the needs that we have. We're not talking about today.
One of the needs that I still feel like we need, is whoever
just
we add.
Just got Mikey. Just go with
it, Mikey. I'm tired and I'm rusty, so I'm going with that. But I think the other thing we've got to think of is the age and the experience that the players are bringing in. I think somebody like Moses Moody, yes, he's playing with Steph and Clay, and he's been playing in a few pressure situations with the Warriors, but he's not a really important player for them. He's a role player. He might only be 21, but to me, if you're adding a 21-year-old, you may as well bring somebody in through the draft.
I don't actually think it's a great trade. Interesting.
I don't think Moses Moody moves the needle, whether you include Cole exactly or it. Not. It just doesn't move the needle enough for me.
I think we could all agree that
Malik Monk, in terms of this position, is probably top of the list in terms of he's a free agent. I think he's gettable. I think there's going to be interest there from us. I just think if you add somebody like Paul George, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think we're going to make that big of a swing. I don't think we need to, if I'm honest. If you factor in, we're all expecting Paolo to take a big jump next season again. Like years 2 to 3, players make a big, big jump in the summer. He's got all summer to work on his game. He's not going away to the Olympics with Team USA at the moment. So you expect Paolo to take a jump. Franz, he can't be as inefficient as he was this year. Like, he is not the worst shooter in the league at all. We've seen what he can do. So to me, we're just tweaking the roster to make the offense side of the ball more efficient. And I think Malik Monk adds that perfectly, whether he comes off the bench or you can start him in games as well. I think him or KCP, if he does become an option, are the best two.
Yeah, I think that's fair, mate.
I prefer Trace Jackson Davis over Moses Moody. He'd be the best side for that. I agree. You mentioned it, Paul. I thought he had a great season. You know, he did cross 5 rebounds in limited minutes. And he came in and did a job for Golden State when Draymond Green was suspended. So,
I would agree with you. His production for the team, were each time
I saw Golden State. Not very, I didn't see them that often, but each time I saw him, he looked a really good player. Looked a really good player. Didn't look out of place in the league at all.
No, he didn't. I think is his dad one of the Davis boys, Dale Davis or Antonio Davis? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I don't know, mate, on that one.
Yeah, I think he's got some good caliber, so.
But yeah. Okay, now, final section. And Gary, you've already alluded to a couple of the names on this list. But we're talking about the possibility of if the Magic wanted to make a change at the centre. We all know Wendell had a season that was a bit of a step back, in fairness. He was hampered by injury. He was a major factor at times in some inconsistency, and certainly there was more than one occasion where he was really having to play catch-ups to try and get himself back to a match fitness and sharpness. In parts, we were certainly treated to what he's capable of, but if we chose to seek a new starting option at the centre, I don't see it. I will say this before we go any further. I don't see us putting a heavy cash investment into the position. But let's talk about one or two of the options. Gary, you've already mentioned Nick Claxton. And I'll come to you first, Mikey. Somebody that I know you wanted us to assume when he was available previously. Free agent this summer. Currently playing in New York. Hartenstein.
No, I don't think he is. I don't know why he wouldn't go back to New York. That's the plain and simple. I think he would be... I'm a big Wendell guy, but I think if Hartenstein was available for the Magic to go and get, I think you go and get him. I think Wendell was a solid defender. He's a good rebounder, and he obviously sets screens really well. But that's also things that Hartenstein does really well. But he's a really good passer of the ball. I think offensively, forget the 33% from 3-point range for Hartenstein. I don't really want the center taking huge volumes of threes. So I think if he can keep teams honest, Hartenstein can obviously help keep teams. They're going to worry about him shooting the odd threes here and there. But I think in terms of his passing, his screen setting, I think Paolo and Franz, I mean, we see how well Franz plays off of Wendell. We've seen that for the last couple of years. And I think Hartenstein, especially being German as well, they're going to have that connection. There's going to already be a bit of camaraderie as well. And he's a good offensive rebounder, something that we like to do, get on the glass on both ends. But I just don't think he's gettable. I really don't. I don't see why he would leave.
That weird situation that he's in.
No. If New York don't make the conference finals, or they hadn't got through the first round, I think he could look at it and go, well, maybe that situation is not as good as I thought it is. But I think the Knicks can build on what they've already done this season again. So for me, it's unfinished business if he leaves. So to me, I don't think he's gettable. But yeah, I'd love Hartenstein if he was available, for sure.
Can I make a point on Hartenstein? Philip Rossman, right, friend of the show, last year did a mock draft. And in it, he traded the Magic's 30th pick to get Hartenstein. And people just laughing around the room. He saw it. He just seen what Hartenstein was all about. And he's proven right. So, well done, Phil. And I agree with what you just said, Mikey. He's a very, very capable player. A hard-nosed, gets his nose into places. And he's been a real warrior this playoff for the Knicks. And we do get him, he'd be fantastic. But might be out of our price range now.
Yeah, I just don't see a heavy cash investment in that position. No. So, Gary, you've already spoke about Nick Claxton, and so I just want to hear G's thoughts on that guy, free agent.
Yeah, so I've been winding up to come in the Brooklyn Nets boys in the UK community, where Nick Claxton's playing his last game in Brooklyn. They seem to think he isn't worth all of that. His numbers are pretty decent. He's solid when we've seen him play.
Yeah.
his screens, rebounds well, blocked shots. His free throw shooting is a little bit suspect. I think there's been occasions where, you know, he's been fouled late in games, etc. So it's one of those. He would be good. But how much money do I throw at him? And how much is this going to impede future Black's ability? You know, we've got out of the cap hell when we had Bismack Biyombo and Serge Ibaka, and, you know, when we extended Timothy Mozgov, Weltman and Hammond have done, you know, a superb job in managing the finances. And I know Mikey's guest next week is going to be very on it when it comes to the finances. So we're looking forward to next week's podcast. So make sure you don't miss that one. So if the price is right, absolutely, why not? But then you still got Wendell under contract. Goga Bitadze, he's, you know, come out and said he likes it in Orlando. You know he's going to get rid of Mo Wagner. So you have, you know, can you throw that much money in when you've already got 3 centers potentially? Or do you get rid of Goga, who's, you know, on a very, very cheap deal? So it's about managing plays.
Yeah.
This one I'm going to ask you about, Gary, I put in before the lottery was drawn, and I think it becomes a mute point at this point, but trying to trade for Clint Capella.
I don't see us giving up massive amounts in a trade pool. Like, Clint Capella again, yeah, he's a double-double guy, but then Wendell kind of is anyway. I think, like, out of the bigs who are available, for me, the one who intrigues me is Valanciunas.
Yep.
Just veteran, and he's got that absolute, like, size, and we saw the values of screens when we brought Wendell back into the team against Cleveland, and we saw why we need a screen set there, particularly for Alexa Powell. So he would be interesting for us if we fulfilled the three-point shoot issues. Veteran, stir of a man, fills the paint, physical, field goal percentage, you know, like, you can put it in there, he's going to get your points on the inside, post up games there, etc. He does fill a lot of boxes, and you probably get him for a couple of years because he's not a huge name. So he fits a lot, but he only works if we can do something with the 3 points issue, because if not, we're going to just end up being in a similar position to New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, mate, the Valanciunas was a name that we were talking about last off-season as well. Of those four names, he'd be my choice, without a doubt.
Around the list.
Being a free agent, particularly, because I think Hartenstein is not going to be available. But the final question on that subject is, do you three guys, or does anybody feel we actually need to upgrade the starting center? Gary?
I've got an issue, and my issue is this, and I said it in earlier pods this season. I have an issue with us having the amount of injury-prone players on our books that we do have. And as it stands, we've got Jonathan Isaac, who misses a lot of games, Gary Harris, who misses a lot of games, Mark Elfuss, who misses a lot of games, and Wendell Carter, who misses a lot of games. So we have, when we hit that bad run, part of it was because a lot of the injured guys who were usually injured were injured again. So I think for me, I said last week, I think Gary Harris has played his last game for the Magic. I think he'll probably end up back in Denver or another contending team as a guy off the bench. Kind of saying, okay, Jonathan Isaac isn't going to get moved. Sorry, G, but I think there is a situation where I think Markel isn't here. And I think he's even acknowledged that himself. And then I think it makes Wendell going to make a trade. The salary guy who would be used, but we cannot afford to have the we can't have four constantly injured players on the books. It's got to go down to two at most. So, it's impossible.
Wendell's contract exception.
Yeah.
Do you feel we need to upgrade at centre?
Looking at these numbers and the players available, if you've got a Nick Claxton, I know you've recently said about Hartman, I'm looking at the numbers, Claxton's 25. You know, you're looking at potentially your starting centre left the next long term, you know? If you brought him in, even if he, you know, and he plays with Paolo and Franz, and it's another building block that you've got there in place, locked in. The other guys we've spoken about before, you know, you call Georges, they're, you know, 2 year things at max. So just talking about all the free agents we've been discussing today, I mean, Malik Monk, if you came away from free agency with Nick Claxton and Malik Monk, I would think it'd be a fantastic offseason.
Yeah, I agree.
You'd have got big building block at centre with Wendell coming off the bench. You've got a scoring guard who can light it up. And then you can just go and throw some money at some 3-point shooter to come off the bench, you know. And then there's a few of them about, you know, nothing about, you can get them for cheap on middle level exceptions and whatnot. Luke Kennard in free agent, I mean, at the trade deadline next year. So having gone through everyone we just saw there now, Nick Claxton to me is looking a lot. It's looking good. It's just. Watch out.
I've liked him for a lot of seasons. I mean, we've had this discussion with you. You mentioned it, some of the Brooklyn community. We had them on the pod, and they're genuinely not fans of Nick Claxton. Every time I've watched him, he seems to have a solid game. I've not seen him have a poor performance, but again, I don't watch him that often.
No.
I understand he can be bullied at times.
12 and 10, 63% from the field. He's in and around the rim. He's protecting. He's, you know, he's not taller than ice, but, you know, you got two decent defenders down in the block. You know, so we just add to that defense. And if you had Nick Claxton in instead of Wendell last season, our defense is even better.
So, Mikey, You're the Wendell guy. Do we need to upgrade at centre?
No, I don't think you need to upgrade. I think if there is an obvious upgrade there, I think you've definitely got to look at it. My question is, in terms of fit, does Nick Claxton anchor the defence like Wendell does? I don't think it's quite as simple as how many rebounds he gets and how many block shots, because we've seen shot blockers in the league look at Mo Bamba.
Yes.
Mo Bamba is a shot blocker, but he can't defend the rim. But teams were never scared to go at him. I'm not saying Nick Claxton is Mo Bamba, don't get me wrong, but in is he switchable? Like, we've seen games this year when Wendell's healthy, switching out onto wings and guards on occasions where the defense is scrambling. Is Nick Claxton capable defending every position like Wendell? I'm not being biased because I'm a Wendell guy at all. I'm just trying to think of the big picture. Like,
yeah.
Is Nick Claxton a better fit? Is he that much of an upgrade over Wendell? Personally, I think if Nick Claxton, and you're then looking at the pecking order. For me, Wendell's proven he can anchor a top five defense in the league. Like, that's not a tall order, but that's the standard now, that whoever you bring in has got to be able to maintain that. For me, I think if you sign Nick Claxton, I'd bring him off the bench. It obviously depends on how much money you're thinking of paying him as well. But I don't think centre is our biggest need. And that's why I think the point guard, I think I'm going to differ from G. I think if we walk away with Tyus Jones and Malik Monk, I think, for me, that's a great off-season. And I think whether we use our draft pick, and we'll get into that another day, but I think Gary Harris is probably gone. So if you're replacing Gary Harris with Malik Monk, and let's say, I don't know, Markel Fultz comes off the bench and Tyus Jones is your starter, I think next season, with the improvements of everybody else, I think there's not too much tinkering there where you've upset the apple cart. I think that there's got to be that balance of you don't want wholesale changes and then you suddenly bring in four or five players or you make a big trade for somebody and half the roster changes. I think you've got to be careful keeping that balance and that chemistry right as well. The front office has got a real tough decision to make this offseason. Yeah. Before we finish, is there any player who's not really talked about at the moment who you think might become available in the summer who you would go, yeah, I'd make that deal? Like if Donovan Mitchell turned around and said,
There's still things with Donovan Mitchell. Was it he posted something in the social media this week and it wasn't a good fit. I think he's an excellent player, but yeah, I mean, look, if one name then that's not been mentioned, Bridges.
From Brooklyn.
What?
What are you saying?
Mikal Bridges. There's a possibility of becoming available that's not necessarily being talked about a massive amount. He's not in a winning situation, and are they wanting to move in a different way?
Dan? I think he's a third option. I think a player who might come available, but I don't see us doing it because I think it's
far too expensive
for what it would cost. But I think Devin Booker could become available.
Well, that's so serious.
Winner complete.
Well, I think
then what do you want to give up for Devin Booker? Because his stock's fallen with the Suns. There's a lot. There's players will be available. That's two of them who's just been named now, but it's what. Teams aren't just going to give them till she's got to think, well, okay, if we want one of those guys, you're probably looking at going out the other way. Sean Wagner, Jalen Suggs, Jonathan Isaac, all those names are going to be on the table as part of the deal, probably alongside Wendell as a salary tank.
Yeah.
The other thing you ought to consider as well is, so we've talked about Brandon Ingram, Paul's just mentioned Mikal Bridges. You bring in a player like that, I think suddenly there's a lot of pressure on Jalen Suggs to be the point guard.
A lot of the guys that we're talking about are not filling the point guard role.
Yeah.
I'll throw another one in there. Kyle Kuzma. Washington blown it up. Why not?
Yeah.
I know we're not the biggest fan of his, but he's capable. He picks up numbers. And he's in that same mold as his scoring wing is what we've got, but we're loading up as scoring wing, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, boys, I think that's going to do it for this week. I've enjoyed that. It's been a good, interesting conversation. I think that what comes out of it is that there's so many options. There's no hard and fast answer. That there's plenty of fit. But are they all the answer? Does that fit necessarily give us an answer? And does it overcommit what we have for the future? Are we putting it all in for the future? We don't want to be in a situation that we saw Brooklyn in for a few years back, where they put everything into getting one player, two players during that off season. We don't want that. We equally don't want to be in that position that we've just seen with Sacramento, where they did nothing last summer and hoped to make a progression and they haven't. So it's interesting summer.
Just before we finish, there was two other names I saw before we jumped on as well. And Brian Windhorst brought this up. Apparently Clutch Sports, I forgot to say this earlier during the point guard bit, that apparently they're going to meet the Cavs this offseason to facilitate a Darius Garland trade. And
I would take
so that was from Brian Windhorst. And the other one was, I think it was Shams. They were saying apparently there's some members of the Cavs who are frustrated with Jarrett Allen and whether there's a few rumblings of him being a bit upset there. Now, to me, that's two clear upgrades if you can get one of them.
I would agree.
Darius Garland or Jarrett Allen. Jarrett Allen is a better option to me. Take Hartenstein off the list. I think he'd be a better option than the rest of those free agents and available.
Do you reckon? I think Claxton would be better than Allen.
Allen's got the experience in the playoffs.
It's such an opinion-based sport.
Yeah, I know. It's good.
We'd have nothing to talk about if it was such a hard and fast, clear rule. That's what I love about this. It's something there's so many different opinions about what would work.
Maybe we could put a poll up to see what people
I think it'd be interesting if we put some of these names up as to if we could get one to fill this need, which would you go for? I think it'd be interesting to see. So, yeah. Excellent. So, yeah, let's wind it up for this week. Before we do go, I'm going to just mention quickly our partners, Attraction Tickets. We say it every week. We know we do. They are the UK's number one attraction ticket provider for Walt Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, Disneyland Paris, lots of UK attractions as well. Basically, if you can buy a ticket for it, you can buy it through Attraction Tickets. And they do have various offers running. So if you join to their website off of our affiliate link, you will see hugely competitive prices when you're looking to book a day out in the UK during the summer or your next trip. They also do offer Orlando Magic tickets at hugely competitive prices. You have to wait for the fixtures to allow for those to be available. You can find the links on our website, letstalkmagic.com, and also on there you'll find our discount code for the NBA store and Fanatics. Finally, outro, got to say thank you to our patrons. Thank you to everybody for watching and listening. The patrons, incredible support as always. Barry Conn, Paolo and Franz Warmth, Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Joss, Sean Moore, Liam Radborn, Andy Lindley, Stuart Benzie, Drum, and Podfather Phil loves Hazy Northwestern. Thank you guys so much. We do genuinely appreciate we appreciate anybody watching, listening to what we do. Get in touch with us, talk to us. We really do love that interaction. And if you are interested in joining our Patreon, there's three tiers available. Just have a look on the website and you'll see what's available. You can join today. Recording our next episode on May the 23rd. I won't be here. As Gia's already mentioned, Mikey's going to be hosting and he's lined up a guest that should be hugely interested to hear as a follow-up from what we've talked about in tonight's episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please give it a thumbs up, subscribe to our YouTube channel, leave us your thoughts, questions. We just love that interaction. Follow us on our socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and X, all @_letstalkmagic. So, for this one, from Gary, Garan, Mikey and myself, as always, until next week, go magic.